Hallelujah. Praise God. How many are excited to be here this morning?
So excited.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God is in the midst. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer this morning, okay?
Amen.
All right. Father, thank you for your heart, for your love, for us as your children. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, thank you. Your power in this place is so awesome. We thank you, Father, even for manifestation of healing made sure. Thank you, Father, for fully providing all that we needed as it relates to healing and walking in divine health. Thank you, Father, because we have that, and we say thank you. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to start off this morning just by asking anyone here with a healing testimony. Something to share with the class. Hilda?
My sister, son, they have a newborn baby.
Okay.
When I saw the picture, he has tubes, in the picture. Mm-hmm. So I called her, and she said she was, this baby was 5 pounds, and the blood sugar is not normal. So I said, well, let's pray. Mm-hmm. I've been sending her, healing CDs, and YouTube. So I prayed. Now I learned it has nothing to do with me.
So bold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with me because it's the Lord's will that this boy be completely healed. Mm-hmm. So I need his conduit and speak the thing I want to happen.
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, and the next day my sister sent an email. Says his blood sugar is normal. He's outside, out of the hospital.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stood in authority, spoke the word, and...
If I don't think about myself, it's easy.
Isn't that powerful? That's powerful, Hilda,
That is the more powerful testimony.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Yes, friends. Because most times we look at us.
Yes.
We look at us. We'll put the pressure on. We'll pile the pressure on. We think, oh, you got to do this. You got to make this happen. No, because the greater one lives where?
In me.
On the inside of you.
Right.
And it's about realizing that and recognizing that, friends. Trust me. And that's part of what will help us every time. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. So you just said it's okay even if I don't do this today, but have him share. It's important, not looking at us, knowing that the greater one lives on the inside. And that's what helps, friends, so that every time when we step out, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's on the job, whether it's at home, whether it's at that coffee place, to step out in faith, not thinking, oh, what if I do and nothing happens?
That's right.
Because you're not thinking about you. You're not putting that pressure on you. You're just being obedient as his child and a disciple of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In going out and doing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's laying hands, whether it's speaking that word of encouragement, whether it's showing or expressing love, the Father's heart for that individual. What impact, what change in the lives of others, seeing beyond ourselves. It's important. It's powerful. Let's look at two scriptures, and I'll take one more. Thank you, Hilda, for sharing that.
Yes.
Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John in chapter 4. I'd like someone to read it. 1 John 4, 4. Yes, please go ahead.
Little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, friends, and when you take that whole passage and read down, it's clear because it talks about God, it talks about God's love. It's very clear who's on the inside. There's no doubt about that from God's word. And we could spend time just reading that whole chapter and the next one, 1 John 5 as well, verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You know, so, and then we find in that passage, that context, friends, that God is on the inside. God is on the inside. The greater one living inside of you is God himself, the creator of the universe, the creator, the one who created everything, friends. Great and mighty as he is, he's within, prompting and leading us as by his spirit. And part of healing school, friends, what we learn here is how to minister healing, how to get out there, how to be effective. So it's not that, oh, we're running like rabbits, hitting the streets, and if the Lord says do that, then by all means, absolutely do it.
Amen.
But
Amen.
The pressure, because I've seen people, friends, sorry to use this phraseology, drop out and say, oh, you know, I'm tired because I did, and I didn't, you know, possibly didn't see some things and then give up. You don't give up. We don't give up.
That's right.
It's like saying, God, will you cease to dwell in here any longer? Nope. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The body is his abode, his temple. It dwells on the inside. Many other passages as well in this regard. Ephesians 1:13-14. I mean, it's so rich. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's just because we believe that gospel message, we got saved, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. So also, having believed, you were what? Sealed the Holy Spirit of promise. Until when? Until the day of redemption. Sealed. With that is your keeping, because you're kept by the power of God. You're secure in him. And as Jesus said in John 10, no one can snatch you from the evil one. I mean from the Holy One, from God. No one can snatch, as I meant to say, not even the evil one can do that. So you're safe and secure. Have conviction in this. Any thoughts in this regard just before we move on? Hilda, powerful testimony. See how distance didn't even play anything in there, friends? These are living realities, friends. You know, so we say, oh, someone's in the hospital. Yes, wherever you are, you can speak life. Oh my word, isn't that so great? You don't have to be there physically to say, oh, okay, I gotta do something, I gotta touch, I gotta do. No, you don't gotta do nothing. You can just speak the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can just speak life and see change. Effortless change. Effortless change. Yes, you had something.
Yeah, real quick. Three days ago, my daughter called me. She stays in Minnesota. She's an emergency physician. And as she was talking to me, she was coughing. I said, hey, Yoma, are you coughing? Yeah, I said, this cold or cough has been disturbing me. And again, since she became a physician, you know, because we grew up believing in the power of healing, you know, but she became a physician, she tend to kind of depend on medication more and more. So I said, do you mind if I pray for you? She said, no, I don't mind, you know. And I rebuked the cough. And until we finished, we were on the phone for another 1 hour. Until we finished, that cough did not show up.
No cough.
And I talked to her the next day, no cough, the cough was gone.
Praise God.
So I was happy that I didn't kind of allow, you know, her resistance now to
hinder that.
To hinder me from going forward to pray for her. And,
right.
I believe God that that will also begin to help her see that.
Right.
You know, yeah, medications do work, but the power of God is still available.
Yes, yes.
Every time.
And that's unbeatable. You had a thought. Oh, I saw you raised your hand.
Oh,
initially. It's okay if you don't. It's okay.
I was going to say about the seal. You said we're sealed in Song of Solomon 8:6. It says, "Set me like a seal upon your heart, like a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death." I just thought that was really part of the
meaning. Amen. What's the number again? Songs of Solomon? Yes.
8:6.
8:6. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Doris.
I just had a quick thought about
Please.
Pastor
Shad. Yes.
I remember when my granddaughter was small, she was about 5, and she was walking around with this tennis racket in her hand, and she put it in her mouth, and something happened. It plunged the back of her throat, and she started bleeding, and I thank God that I didn't have half as much wisdom as I do now concerning healing. But I did know the word, and my daughter called me, and she was screaming. She was like, "Mom, this girl punched her, and she's bleeding, and I got to go." I said, "India, calm down. Calm down, because she'll get excited seeing you're excited." So I said, "Put the phone to her ear." And I said, "Asia, you put your hand on your neck, and you tell it to stop bleeding now in Jesus' name."
In the name of
and
Jesus.
That's it. And that's all she did. My daughter went to emergency. I said, "I'll be there." I got dressed. I took my time. I knew it was okay. By the time I got there and they told me where she was, I went back through emergency. I pulled back the curtain and the doctor was standing there, and he was looking in my granddaughter's throat, and he said, "Are you sure she was bleeding?" Like he said, and my daughter was, she's spicy. And she's like, "I have the towel to show she was bleeding. Here's the blood all over." And I just stood there. And the doctor said, "Well, I don't see anything. So, I mean, just take her home, let her eat soft foods, but I don't see anything." And my granddaughter blurted out, she said, "I told her, you stop bleeding in Jesus' name." It was so funny. The doctor said, "Oh, well, all right."
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's awesome. All right. So, praise God. You know, today I'm going to just spend some time just closing out on a specific theme I've been on the past couple of weeks as it concerns the healing class. And just going to try and just pass this on. Same thought over and over and over again. We're looking at different aspects, and it concerns healing. Today I say healing. Have you got it? Spend time this past 3 weeks just trying to share with us the importance of realizing, recognizing, knowing, appreciating the truth and the fact that as it concerns healing, that you already got it, that you already have it. And that's what the Lord has laid on my heart to share all these few weeks. This is about the third one in this regard. Healing. Have you got it? Question mark. And it's important. It's awful. It's vital, friends. It sets us at a different stage as it concerns in our walk with God, in our walk with the Lord, as it concerns getting to see manifestations of those healings more and more, as in more and more in our walk, in our life here on earth. How that shift is critical. It's important. Because if you think you don't have it and you're trying to get it, sometimes it's like swimming against the tide, friends. That's the way it is. Because if his word tells you, if God tells you, heart to heart, son, daughter, I already healed you. But as a son or as a daughter, you can't take God for his word. You can't accept his word as true. You can't let that resonate in your heart. Let it sink into your heart and dwell there in your heart. And it's going to be most, oftentimes, it's going to be tough. So that's my plea to each and everyone in this room to take God as his word. The same way a child would take God at his word. A child, take the father's word for it. In trusting, in having faith, in simply believing what's said to him. Just take his word as it is. We looked at Isaiah 53:1-5. We looked at 1 Peter 2:24. We read those out last week. When I read it, I read from a version that said, by his wounds, we have been healed. Have been healed. Traditional says you were healed. But just to make it sink in, ram home more, you have been healed. And that's the truth. That's the reality.
What version was that, Pastor Sharp?
As far as?
It was what?
Phillips, J.B. Phillips.
Oh, J.B. Phillips, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, and there are others. I think Revised Standard as well has it that way. And a few others have it that way.
Okay.
You have been healed. Anyone in this room struggle with that? Mary, was that a thought or a question? Okay. It's important.
It's not personally struggling with it, but to convince another when they have symptoms and, you know, you're telling them you have already been healed. I'm not trying to heal you. I'm trying to help you to activate the healing that is already yours in you. I think that's where the struggle can be sometimes.
Mary?
I guess I do have it. Well, for me, what happened way back is just knowing the truth of God's word and that he can't lie. And that came with the time that you spent in the word and just meditating on it. You know, because humans will lie to you, but there's something about just being saturated in the word and realizing he can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
And then I think about what Johnny was saying about when you have that relationship, it'll flow from that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Absolutely. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should what? He's not. That he should repent or change his mind,
right.
You know. So he's healed you.
Right.
Okay, and that's it. You take him at his word.
Yeah.
The past tense of God's word, the truth of it, the reality of it.
Yes. I was just thinking about what Ibama said, but it's really not a struggle even with that because, you know, like the word of God says, one plant, one water, and then, but it's God that gives the increase. It's even with understanding the revelation of the word. Just like my friend I told you about last week, who she called me on my way to work and on my way to church, and she said, I got it, you know. But I had been telling her this all along, and she was just, I said, okay, I told you, you know. She said, I got it, Doris, I got it. So, you know, it's just about still putting it out there, still giving that word, and may take somebody else coming along to say, you know, or whatever. But God will give the increase.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and so thank you for that. So here's an example of when I talked about a shift, you know, when I talk about a shift, you know, when we make a statement like, oh, God has already provided my healing. When you're speaking about yourself, personally, when you say, oh, God has already provided my healing, I'm saying to you today, from my heart, from the Father's heart, the only way we ought to see that and the way we ought to take that to ourselves is to realize and recognize that he has already provided, ought to be understood with the sense that he's already provided it, that he's been given to you, conveyed to you, and that you have received it. You have received. Because sometimes you talk about, for example, in legal parlance, in law, for example, in contract law, you have an offer. And because an offer is made doesn't mean that's it. An offer is made, and then there's an acceptance. You have to accept the offer. And then when you have the acceptance, then you may begin to talk about a binding contract or an agreement, something that, you know, bound force of law. So let's not have that idea, oh, it's provided. Okay, it's provided, but it's provided, but it's out there. Now I need to try and wheel it in or try and grab it. So it's provision, but it's just provision out there. No, no, no. It's provision, but it's provision that has been placed on the inside of you. Are we seeing the subtle nuances in there? Oh, my healing is already provided. Yes, it's provided. What's within? So what's left from me is, instead of trying to reach out and pull from some, you know, from the atmosphere, stratosphere, or something outside of you, it's about one, recognizing what's on the inside. And how do I activate, as far, I don't want to use the word activate, take to myself or get to experience, walk in the full reality of what I have on the inside of me. God is on the inside of me. I have his life, I have his nature, have his spirit, have his power, have his authority. These are things we throw about, but these are things that are real. As God's word says. Ephesians 3:20, for example. I think we looked at that, so we don't need to go in there. According to his spirit, unto him who is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So I'm saying, even in respect to that situation that you may be going through, as it concerns health situation or heart situation or something that is, forget the word, bugging you, troubling you, or that may seem a challenge. And you see God as, now, and I don't even look at that passage and say, oh, he's going to do. No, it's descriptive of who he is. God's nature, his character, his person, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think or imagine, as some other versions, different versions have it in a different way. But even all of that is according to his power that what?
Worketh in us.
That works where?
In me.
Outside of you.
In me.
No, works in you. Works inside of you. So all of heaven's resources, we'll say, have been made available. But the availability is not outside. It's not extraneous to the believer. The availability is not outside or extraneous to the person born again. It's not outside or extraneous to the disciple of Jesus. That availability is where, friends? Is on the inside.
Glory.
God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's different, friends. This is, hear my heart this morning. I don't care if this is the only thing I say this morning. It's different. And I tell you, if you can catch it, if you can catch that difference, your life changes. Your walk changes as it relates to healing and health in this whole arena of conversation. It changes.
Amen.
When you don't see, oh, availability outside of me, so I'm trying to get. No, but availability on the inside of me.
Yes.
Now I'm looking at, how do I maximize what's on the inside?
Yes.
Potentiality.
Amen.
Potentiality on the inside.
Yes.
How do I activate that richness that is fully within? Yes.
Philemon 6.
Yes.
In the King James Version.
Please.
That the communication, which is what? Of your faith may become what?
Effectual. Mm-hmm.
As you acknowledge every good thing that is in you.
Glory to God.
And it's in us.
Mm.
You know.
Wow. Friends, you had something, Carol?
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Friends, if we can we can get that. You see, most times why we struggle is because we don't know what we have. We're not aware of what we've got. And so I'm asking that question this morning. Healing, have you got it? Wow. There's only one resounding answer, friends. I care for you to shout it from the rooftops. Shout it, blow out your lungs, whatever you have to do. I already got it. Yes is the resounding answer, friends. Yes is the resounding answer. Every time. I've already got it. Yes. Well, most times we don't know. And friends, that's what the enemy, permit me to make mention of him, because I tend not to. Well, sometimes I do, but I see the how the word delineates it, how the word describes it, the position that the Lord has revealed in scriptures. What he's busy trying to do all the while is just to get your focus off of that, so you don't even know that you don't have. Hosea 4:6. I believe, Hosea 4:6. Because he doesn't want you to maximize. He doesn't want you to be aware in any way, shape, or form. And that's how he robs, he steals, that's how he kills. That's the MO. That's the modus of operation. That's the mode of operation, friends. If he can get us to be that little bit ignorant. That little bit ignorant. Or to say, okay, you know what? Oh, dwell here, for example. And this is just an example, friends. Dwell here, where? In the old covenant. Dwell here, where it talks about something future to come. So that you, it's like a smokescreen. It's covered. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, I believe, how that a veil, while the old covenant was read, a veil was over, so they couldn't see the reality of it. But under the new covenant, based on the blood of Jesus, based on that perfect sacrifice, based on his death and resurrection, based on what he conveyed to you, passed on to you, we can now begin to see and talk about the past tense reality of God's word, of God's heart, what we've been called to. And we can only get that dug in into our hearts ever in an ever-increasing manner, ever-increasing fashion, in the place of intimacy and relationship. That's how we can actually get to absorb. It's like someone who creates something. You know, we buy things and there are manuals in there. Okay? But this is not just about following the manual. Yes, he's given us the word. But we have him as well. In the place of koinonia, in the place of fellowship, in the place of relationship, in the place of intimacy. So that you can just speak with him direct anytime. Unhindered access. Lord, this is what's going on. What's happening here, Lord? Is it, you know, and you could, oh man, the way I was going to phrase it. What's up, Daddy? What's going on, Father? What's going on here? Why am I, I'm feeling this. This is going on. This is what I'm going through. What's, and then he can just directly just begin to convey to you, oh, I took care of that. See this, see this, see this. And then you go over there, you look, you're like, whoa, you get blown over and over and over again from the reality of what's in the word.
Yeah.
Given and received, friends. It's given and received. Someone had I saw a hand, but I think I lost it. Someone had a question or a thought? I thought, yes.
Be transformed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the renewing of your mind. So it's not just a word that's in you, it actually changes you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
You're transformed into his likeness
mm-hmm.
and his image.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes.
Oh, I was just thinking, and it's kind of springing off of Thomas' observation, and it's difficult trying to convince somebody else that they're healed. And I'm wondering if we have to sometimes go back to teaching them how we're spirit, soul, and body. Because what Jesus accomplished on the cross, all he answered, not only healing, where did it go? It's like, where did it go? And I'm trying to think of some scriptures to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's been deposited in our spirit.
Yes.
And if we can get them to understand their spirit, soul, and body by renewing their mind, by dropping the gates and barriers and hindrances and filters that's prohibiting this manifestation from the inside through that soul, that transforming of the mind, and then it manifests in the flesh. So,
that's usually the approach when you're ministering to a Christian.
That's it.
But when you're ministering to a non-Christian, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
That's because I've seen
mm-hmm. right.
plenty.
That's
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's right.
Yep.
When you're ministering to a non-Christian,
mm-hmm.
But I did want
bring
to bring
in that,
that
reality.
Because you have Christians that don't have an understanding.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, of
absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
That's the importance
yes.
of the renewing of the mind.
Yes. yes.
Because it's like opening the gates,
yes.
dropping the barriers,
mm-hmm.
cleaning the filters, so
course.
That what you already have deposited in your spirit will manifest.
That is correct. Will come out. Yes. Amen.
Spirit, soul, and body is a key, but also helping the person to understand the fundamental meaning of being born again. Not how you get born again,
right?
By receiving Christ, mm-hmm. you know, but what does it actually mean that you are now born again?
Yes.
You know, that's actually where the whole thing, the foundation is.
And it's thank you for my, it's talking about salvation, it's talking about sozo, it's talking about that whole breakdown, you know, what we, which we get to, you know, see. Johnny, you had something.
So I just want to speak to that. When we want to speak healing to a non-believer, we have to believe that the Spirit in us is enough to bring revelation to that non-believer, because everything originates from the Father. Now, as Christians, we can get it from reading His Word, and God can speak to us through a verse that brings revelation, but He can also speak to us in our heart also. Mm-hmm. Now, the person that's not a believer, that isn't filled with the Word, we have to approach them with the idea that we are Christ on this earth, and Jesus never healed anybody that was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have to believe that as
that's good.
We let the Word of God that He's placed in our heart go out, it's got power.
Yes. Yes.
If they can get a revelation like that from the Word that we have. And if we're working from love, boom.
That's it.
Then the Father speaks to their heart and can bring that healing to them.
Yeah. Right. Well, amen.
Hallelujah. The gifts can come in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, there's the authority of the believer, and there's the operation of the gifts, which is meant as gifts.
Absolutely.
And it can help people bypass that belief system. Mm-hmm. But what she was saying, too, isn't it 1 Corinthians 1:9 that talks about that God's called us into companionship and participation. So, you know, that springing off of introducing them to the benefits of salvation, that they not only have this relationship, but they participate in all the gifts and the blessings that that relationship brings. Because again, I keep saying, you can't believe the promises without knowing the one.
The one.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of
promise. Having said that, excellent, thank you. There was another thought there, but having said that, you wanted to say something?
Yes.
I don't want to forget this thought. Yes.
He said that Jesus went out and He healed people. Mm-hmm. They weren't Christians.
That is correct.
So we have to understand that when we're out witnessing to people in the world, that they're non-Christians, we got to have the love of Christ in us to minister to them in love.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Not in condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might take, I'm just going to give you a little quick testimony.
Mm-hmm.
I just witnessed to someone that I've known 51 years. And what happened was, last week, she said 5 years ago when I was around her, she said she thought that I had condemned her to hell.
Hmm.
That was her word. She said, Christy, you had condemned me to hell. She said, and it bothered me a lot because we've known each other 51 years. She says, and I kept saying, God, bring her back because I need to know. I witnessed to her this time, she received Christ. Because the love of Christ is what we have to minister.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get that love, then they can get the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Healing gonna come.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's what Jesus ministered. Jesus ministered compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When He went out, He ministered compassion to the people.
Mm-hmm.
He met them where they were. And then He ministered to them. And because of that love, they received it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. And someone, if someone asks and say, oh, okay, what if it seemed like, oh, not wanting to receive or being resistant? Because, you know, you have to meet all kinds out there. And you can't legislate for who you're speaking with, regardless of religion, faith, where they're from, all of that stuff. So let's not discount great stuff taken all together. But also, let's still not discount what we talked about early on as far as having the Spirit in us, on the inside of us, and with having His Spirit is also having His power, having His authority as His children. And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, you know, he said to them, I did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. He says, but what? In the demonstration. I've always seen that as a demo of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in what? But in the power of God, strictly power of God. And so that's not about me. It's the power of God. And so don't hold back. Even when they say, oh, can I pray with you? And that's always a leeway. You've seen something. There's obviously something wrong. There's an issue. Okay. All right. Yep. I don't know about this Jesus. Okay. So, but do you want to be well? Do you want to be okay? Do you want healing right now? Okay. Can I pray for you? Okay. Right now, let's go. You know, and so just minister the power of God. So let's not also discountenance that fact that you can minister life that still.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, friends, I can tell you testimony after testimony of an unbeliever receiving bang. Just like that. Receiving bang. Just like that. No elaborate suitcases of theology. Suitcases, boatload of scriptures, you know, nothing. As in diddly squat. I'm just using all sorts of words today, but I'm just being real.
That's
you know, friends, so.
That's how God intended it, though. You heal, and they know that he's real.
Exactly. And they're like, oh, wow, I want to know more. I want to hear more. And then you just open it up and say, well, he loves you. Exactly. Mary.
F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer, he said healing was the dinner bell. You
know, right.
Healing
right.
was the dinner bell.
Right. And then they'll
we
come.
More to offer now.
Right. They'll come. They'll be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Several friends. It's incredible. And I know that you also have testimonies like that. Everyone in this room. But are you willing to step out in faith, out of what we sometimes term the comfort zone, where we're just coasting, chillaxing, just doing our own thing, doing life?
Right.
No, but then the next man needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that next woman needs the love of the Father revealed to her. That boy, that girl, the same thing. Yes?
I have a question.
Yes, Hilda.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then they confirm their belief, then healing doesn't work. So how
do
we handle things like this?
Okay. The first thing I would before I answer, anyone? Any thought? So the question is, what if you pray for someone and then they don't get a manifestation or see a manifestation of healing there and then? And then that sometimes solidifies or confirms in their own heart that, yeah, you see, healing isn't real. Or healing isn't true.
That was actually where I was coming from, you know, because I've seen many unbelievers get healed instantly, you know. However, sometimes you come across someone who is already in a place, you know. Again, you don't go telling them you already got it.
Right.
So that aspect is in us.
And then do they already got it?
You know.
I mean, do they already have it, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
They do.
No. The unbeliever, we're talking about an unbeliever. So if we're talking about an unbeliever, do they already have it?
No.
Okay. Is there provision?
Yes.
Yes, in their situation, in their circumstance. But do they already have it?
Inside of them.
Because they haven't stepped in.
Yeah. Right.
In faith. They're not in Jesus.
So
okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my point. We cannot use
correct.
That for them.
Correct. So, but what can we use? What can we use?
Command healing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Command healing. Mark 16:17-18. Command healing. Strictly charging. Johnny, you had something.
The answer to that question, though, what do you do if they don't get healed? The Word of God is the Word of God, and it's true. It's not your responsibility to make it come to pass. You speak it out, and it's God's responsibility after that. So you're
correct.
Never wrong in doing what the Bible says
yep.
is right.
In being obedient. You're never wrong in being obedient.
And then that's your hands are clean of it after that point. You were just doing what the Lord said to do.
Period.
You heard the Father tell you to pray, you pray. And the response, that's all the Holy Spirit's job after that. Take your hands off it.
That's right.
And it won't come back void, whether you see it today or some other day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can never be wrong.
For instance, and this is part of going beyond ourselves, going outside of ourselves, because sometimes we that's part of taking responsibility, thinking that, oh, I have to make it happen. And so if I don't see something, then I have to then condemn myself or judge myself and say, or start thinking what they're thinking.
Uh-huh. Right.
What's your business in thinking what they're thinking or what their assumptions are? And then that stops you from moving down the road and talking to the next person, or that stops you from the next day ministering to your child or your daughter or someone close to you, family, friend, relationship, whatnot. Because that all of a sudden hinders you. Oh, I prayed and it didn't happen. So?
Right.
So you dropped out?
No.
And I've told you, I know people who've dropped out. I'm not talking about out of faith or out of relationship, but I'm just saying as far as, okay, being open to doing what the Lord says to do.
Right.
Come on, friends. Mark 16:17, that stuff is real.
That's real.
Jesus wasn't playing. Wasn't kidding. Mm-hmm. I've given you this stuff. Now you get to do.
Person
Mm-hmm.
Just keep being Jesus' ambassador. Because I understand where she's coming from, because I have a nephew that is ill. So just keep walking in love. Don't back down from your stance that that's what God wants for them. But just keep walking.
So we don't have to convince them.
No, no, no.
When they say, see?
No, no. Yeah.
They won't stand before the Father someday and say, nobody ever gave you the word.
Russ.
The power, if you are operating in the true power of the love that God has expressed to you, and you're allowing that to flow to them when you minister to them, that love will give them a level of confidence, whether or not they see an instant manifestation, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you are motivated by something that is good for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The goodness of the love of God expressed mm-hmm. is unlimited in its ability.
So I'd say to what Russ said, confidence and comfort. There's going to be comfort that springs from that because of the love that you've exuded, love that you've shown in that whole ministry time frame. Thank you, Russ. Confidence and comfort. So you don't always have to worry about what are they thinking. Trust me, you've left them in a better place already. Amen. By sharing that life of God, by sharing that, you know, the heart of the Father. Trust me. You know, so that may not readily present itself by way of a manifestation of healing right there and then, but their life, as far as their life is concerned, there's been an impact in there. Yep, there's been change there.
Thank you. We have to always remember that it's not us, it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. So once we plant, or once, like she said, plant, or once we give them that word, once we pray for them, once we lay down hands, it's not up to us anymore. It's up to Jesus. Some desire for healing. So, like she said, we keep commanding that that healing takes place in their mind, in their spirit. You know, you just, even when you sin, you know that you're not in the same place with them when you first ministered to them. You have already given that. So now you just move forward. Whenever you sin, you sin. Put sin inside your mind. I command that healing to manifest. You know, you don't have to keep going to them. You just keep speaking.
Praise God. All right.
Hallelujah.
To try and close this out, I'm just going to touch on something. How do we get our hearts convinced of the truth? How does conviction come? As far as knowing that we have already received, and you know, when we are in that place and that understanding that, oh, you already received, then you know that freely you have received, so you do what? You freely give. Essentially, that's the discussion we just had. I've received, so I can give. And so we can go out there and we can be doers of the word. And there's blessedness that comes with that. James 1:25. Okay, in doing the work, there's blessedness that attaches to that results there. All right, so it's God's word. Paying attention to it. Talked about transformation in the mind, in the heart, and that shows up. Trust me, in your experience, in your walk, I've shared that the past couple of weeks. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. And that word has with it experience in your walk here, the realities to which you've been called. What is that good? What is that acceptable? Or well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Not different wills of God, but the self-same will of God, which is what? His thoughts towards you in health, in healing and health. That you prosper and be where? In health. Okay? Proverbs 4. I'll leave you with Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 23. Popular passage. From the New Living, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say, my words. Listen carefully, okay, what I say, listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, okay? For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body, okay? The Jubilee Bible says it's medicine to all their flesh, God's word, okay? Healing and health to all their flesh is what Amplified says. Okay, I'll leave you with the passion. It says, fill your thoughts with my words. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. And then below, it goes on to explain that's the heart, will, emotions, affections, and discernment. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. All right? Prayer team, would you come? It's important. God's word. Just get lost in his presence. Get lost in love with the Father of spirits. Just get lost in the place of intimacy and fellowship with them. Okay? Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the revelation of your word, the truth. Your heart made evident, clear to us, your children. One of love, passionate. Passion for us, so awesome. You healed us with that. Salvation. So great salvation, which is ours. And healing is a part of that. And we have fully received, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just causing us to just walk fully in all that we have, all that you blessed us with completely in love. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for the healing manifestations represented in this room right now. Thank you, Father, for healing manifestation made sure. Thank you, Father, for things dropping off. Infirmities, pains, discomfort, hurts, aches, done away with by the power of the Most High. In the name of Jesus. Give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.